what would you say if I said that I could bring them back?
I guess I'd say I never thought of that.
Well, alright, hold tight, you might wanna stand back, because one small John is coming intact.
St. John forward, spitting out some more words, fully intact, jacked, ready to rap and attack. Small John on your lawn, living like a gnome, hit you with my lyrics like a bullet to your dome.
The night when he comes up here, he's either gonna kill or he's gonna suck. But there's no in between for Mr. John Forward.
Welcome to St. John Forward Radio. I am your host, John Forward. Take a deep breath. Open your ears. Open your mind. This is a radio show recorded live every Monday night from 9 to 10 o'clock on local FM 107.3. Get comfortable. Maybe lay down, close your eyes. Just take this next hour as time for yourself. No other cares in the world. Nothing else to do. Just listen to my radio show. How's that was my yoga intro. I'm still wearing my yoga pants. Just trying to get things extra mellow, because my guest and I, otherwise we might be too energetic for you guys all to handle. So I thought I wanted to start out down low and get nice and relaxed. Only a brief bit of drama in my life, just for continuity's sake, because I left it on a bit of a cliffhanger last week. Last week I was given an ultimatum by work to... it became an ultimatum. I'm spoiling the story, but I was asked if I would go back to my old shift, which I hated, and the only reason I put up with was the beautiful light at the end of the tunnel, which was, day shift, Monday to Friday, every weekend off, anyway. But they want me to go back to that, and I gave my answer on Tuesday, the day after I had Ian Esty here to give me some expert corporate insider info. I said no, and my boss, I was surprised at how he was surprised he was that I said no. I was like, did I seem enthusiastic 3 months ago when we tried to push this on me? Well, no, but anyway, he said there was still some pieces. I thought that if I said no, that was going to be it. Like, all right, here's plan B. You're fired or you're laid off or whatever. But he said he had to check with HR. They were so sure I was going to go along with this that they didn't even come up with a plan B. So he goes off and talks to HR. The next day, I get resummoned, and I'm given 6 weeks working notice to either take the shift or resign. And my plan is to do neither of those things. So I'm currently just in a game of chicken with my manager, and we're gonna see what happens. I've got some moves. I've had some talks with some people. I'm feeling good about it, but I'm gonna be a good boy for the next 6 months. I'm gonna keep my mouth shut about the whole thing. Don't want to tip my hat. So let's talk about something more fun than terrible work things. And by the way, this while they're tightening the purse strings, and they need to, they just can't afford to hire on somebody else for this shift. We just had a quarterly meeting where the words exceptional were used to describe our first quarter, as it was the best in over a decade. So We need to cut corners, and looks like I might be one of those corners. But didn't stop me from going to see the big Tool show in Bangor this past Saturday. I don't get out to see as many concerts as I used to. I used to go probably every weekend when there was there used to be shows going on all the time in St. John when I was in university, and we used to go on more road trips with our friends. But Tool was they haven't put out an album in a decade, so it's hard to be as enthusiastic. I don't know if technically they're one of my favorite bands anymore, but they're up there. They meant a lot to me when I was listening to it. Actually, Tool was kind of a way into a second phase of comedy nerddom later in my life. I'd always like stand up when I was a kid and watching TV and Eddie Murphy and stuff. But there's a Tool song called Third Eye that's on their album Enema that has some clips from comedian Bill Hicks, which we were just listening to the album at first. My friends and I thought that it was Maynard James Keenan, the singer. We thought it was him. They have kind of similar voices. But at some point, we figured out that it was a comedian, and then we looked into said comedian's material, and I got really into to Bill Hicks. I wasn't sure how well it would hold up. I was telling my friend Arif Hussein we were talking about Bill Hicks a little while ago, and he was going to check it out because he had never really gotten into it, and I kind of felt like, well, I don't know if it's going to hold up or not, because some of his material is kind of preachy and, you know, not more just loudly voicing opinions. But there is some solid comedy there, and it holds up, but this isn't about Bill Hicks. This is about the show, which was really, really good. The seats, I was in section 11 for the Bangor waterfront, if you want to look up a visual reference for that. It was pretty far back, but most of the action was happening on the screens. There was an opening band, I don't remember what they were called, but they weren't particularly good or bad. I saw their last two songs as they started playing while I was still in line, but who cares about the opening band? I've got the set list here in front of me. They opened with The Grudge, which is from their Lateralis album, which is ingrained in my mind because that clip of the opening riff from it was part of my H to the C radio show intro for a really long time. And then they played Parabola, and they played the video for that, which is really cool, and Schism, and I was very much on board. But then they broke out Opiate, which is what I think it's called, which is what my friends and I always called the song. It's spelled like the word opiate. I don't know why we always said opiate, like it's a verb. I'm not sure if that's right or not, but that's what we're calling. And that's from their first album. It's a bit of a deep cut, and I was not expecting that. I choked up a little bit. No full tears, but I was on the verge. And then they played Enema, which is just an amazing song. And then and Opiate had a bit of a jam in the middle of it, which I was not expecting. And then they played an instrumental song that I didn't know. I assume it was a new song that I don't know if it's going to be instrumental on their new album or not, but it was cool. And then the next on the list was Jambi, I'm not sure how to say it. I like all Tool songs, but that one's not one of my favorites. So that was the going to pee in the porta potties and maybe buy a t-shirt song, which unfortunately spilled into I was still waiting in line for the toilet when Third Eye started, which was the song with Bill Hicks. So I was mildly disappointed to not get the full experience of that. They didn't have, it wasn't the Bill Hicks version of Third Eye. It was the version of Third Eye where it starts with a Timothy Leary quote that they usually play live instead of the Bill Hicks. And then 46 and 2, another classic one. And then there was an intermission, which was weird. They put like a 12-minute countdown clock on the stage, and but the whole show, just crazy visuals going on the screen, all of the songs that have videos, the videos were playing on the screens and lasers and stuff. It was a stoner's dream. And drum solo, which was a drum solo, I can take it or leave it. They played Vicarious, which is a good song. They played Sweat, also off the first album, which is an even deeper cut than Opiate. I'm not a huge fan of that song either. And then the weird buzzing came over the speakers. That's Ions. That's like an in-between track on Enema. And then they closed it down with Stinkfist. And it was It was a great show all around. I went down with May. We had some other friends there scattered around different areas, but we didn't really see anybody while we were at the show. I guess Brian Godso, former guest on the radio, was there. I probably walked right by him where he was, but we didn't see each other. And yeah, great show. I ended up seated next to a nice man with a stutter, and I unfortunately was without my prescription medication because I wasn't sure how that would play at the border, and I didn't want to take any risks. But it turns out this guy that I was sitting next to must have had the same prescription as I did, and he was more than willing to share his medication. So that made the Tool show that much better, and I'm glad that I went. Highly recommend. 5 stars. Go see Tool. But you can also see something else in the very near future. My guest, Matt Keenan, here. He's making moves. He's got a new show coming up in Hampton. We'll talk about that. He's got a new podcast. All sorts of stuff. Matt Keenan, this is the part where you say hello.
Okay, I'll say hello.
And there he is, folks. The legend, comedy boot camp champion Matt Keenan, and we're going to be back with him to see what's been going on since his last appearance here. I was going to play that Third Eye song that has the Bill Hicks that I was talking about by Tool, but that song is at least 13 minutes long, so I'm going to play Opiate, or Opiate, I'm not sure, that's a scant 5.5 minutes, so we'll get to that, and then we'll be back on St. John Forward Radio with Matt Keenan. See you in 5.5 minutes.
Choices always were a problem for you. What you need is someone strong to guide you. Deaf and blind and dumb and born to follow. What you need. Someone strong to guide you. Like me. If you want to get your soul to heaven, trust in me now. Don't you judge.
when he speaks.
Welcome back to St. John Forward Radio. I'm John Forward. That was Tool with either Opiate or Opiate. This didn't occur to me until just now listening to it, but that probably could have used a trigger warning. I don't usually play rape songs on this radio show. It is not my intention to contribute to rape culture. And I apologize for the lack of a trigger warning at the beginning of that. But it's a song. Hopefully no one was harmed in the listening to it. Thank you. Matt Keenan, how's it going?
Not too bad, man. How are you?
Good. So this is your second appearance on St. John Forward Radio.
It is indeed.
Did you have 10 Red Bulls as advised?
I did not, no.
Oh, okay. All right, only like 6 or 7,
yeah,
probably.
Yeah, I got the.
So you've made some moves since last time. We can get into to all of them, but you were, I think, since your last appearance, you won the comedy boot camp. Why don't you tell us about that whole experience?
It was a nice experience. I mean, when I sent my audition in, it was just a clip from the first open mic I had done. And I didn't really think anything would come of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I made the top 10 of 8, because they allowed 10 people, even though they said it was the top 8. So I assume there was only 10 people that submitted a video.
I know of at least one who, it was sent in probably 12 hours after the cutoff. He was not, I don't know. That still feels like it was a choice. Like, I'm sure the rules could have been bent if they really wanted to get him in. But anyway, that doesn't matter. Continue.
Yeah. No. It was good. So then, I think I had a lot of family that definitely played a part in the votes. Because again, I knew that there were a few people that didn't make the top four that talent wise very well should have.
Yeah, well, the last year, yeah, I didn't make the top four, and that was a big thing. It was before you came on the scene. I remember I was really into it. I was putting up like videos on Facebook every single day, begging people to vote for me. And then my final video, I committed suicide and shot my brains all over the wall behind me.
Yeah, that was a good one.
And it felt embarrassing, especially after begging for it for like 20 days and not even making it. But I didn't even vote for myself every day. Did you vote for yourself every day?
Not every. There were times, because it was based on like a 24-hour period.
Yeah.
So sometimes I would vote late at night and then end up going to bed and forgetting to vote.
Yeah.
So then the vote didn't get logged for that day.
Yeah, when I remembered, I would vote on like my phone and on my computer and on my work computer. But it wasn't most days. And I almost was reluctant to even submit in because I thought that I was too much of a ringer. And that it wouldn't have been fair that I would have so obviously won. And then to not even make the top four was a little embarrassing.
That's the downside to the voting system, because at that point it doesn't mean it's going to be the most talented person.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because I know for a fact, and I said from the beginning that Giles would have won it if he had made the top four, and they didn't make the top four, so...
Yeah, there was, and it wasn't just me who were solid comedians that didn't make the top four, and... At least one of the top four was probably in all reality in the bottom four of the total New Brunswick.
I know but, you're talking about that too.
I think most people do. how was the online vote thing? It's kind of an unavoidable. There isn't really any better way of doing it, except for like what Troy's doing with the Battle of Comedians, where it's all like stage stuff and there's different rounds and stuff, but that requires four shows, so this is just one show, so there needs to be something to narrow it down. I think it would be better if they had a show with like all 10 like at a different venue somewhere, and then like the finalists, but who knows. But so he got past the online vote, which is meaningless. But then it came time to actually step up and make it happen. So what kind of preparation went into it, and what happened at the show, and you know, tell me about it. As
far as preparation, I wouldn't really say the only preparation would have been all the shows that I made sure I got on beforehand, just to kind of get more comfortable on stage.
Yeah.
And then constantly trying new material so that I could figure out what would be a solid set to go with.
What kind of set time did you have to do for the contest?
So they said, I believe they said between 5 and 8, they would light us at 7. Mm-hmm. But then they also said that there would be no penalty for going over. So I think I probably did 10.
Why would they tell you that, even if it was true?
I don't know. I feel like they didn't want someone to go up and do 20.
Yeah.
So they kind of... I basically said, light me, I'll wrap up the joke I'm on, and then go to my closer.
Yeah.
And they lit me just as I was starting a joke, and I was like, I don't want to close on this joke.
Right.
So I finished that joke. I didn't do. There was two jokes I had planned that I didn't do, and then just went to my closer. And they lit me several times after that. I was like, I know, but I'm not going to end mid joke. So
that's part of it. Just being able to know how long the set takes and like that kind of thing. Like, well, with me, when I'm doing something like that, which has a specific set length, usually I'm doing like one joke, so I need to make sure that one joke isn't too long. Sometimes I fail, but were you nervous going into it, or were you treating it like, were you pumping yourself up like you were out to win, or was it just a show that happened to be a contest?
I approached it just as another show, and I was like, whatever happens. It was never about winning for me, and it's the same thing with the hubcap competition that we did too. It was just more another stage to get on, and however many more people to see me and kind of attempt to get my name out there, I guess.
Yeah, I tried to do that at the first year I did the hubcap. I was super, very, very nervous, and I was really shaky on stage. Like, you could probably see it. And then Glenn KMO, who he gave me a bit of I wouldn't call it a pep talk, more of a talk you down from the ledge talk, because I was feeling pretty bad about it that first year, and I didn't do great. But he told me just to, like, to treat it like it's a show, and that's what I tried to do the last couple of times. But even the last one, or I don't really get nervous for any shows very often anymore, and just right up until like the host came on and started talking about it, then all of a sudden like I got like nervous again, and like my chest tightened up. I had to sit and close my eyes and do some yoga breathing. But so how How did you feel while you were you doing it? Did you feel like, all right, I've got this, or did it come down to you wanted to? It was kind of a could go either way once the judges went away to deliberate.
Well, this kind of, it might sound cocky, but I knew.
Tell me how much everyone else sucked.
No, I don't want to get into those details, but I knew, like, it went. Troy went first. Mm-hmm. Then Sabrina went, then I went, Eric went. And I knew based on the audience's reaction after my set that Eric was going to have to do an awful lot just to get second. Or not to get, just if he was going to even give me a run for my money. As cocky or confident as that sounds, whichever way you want to.
Yeah, well, we're already going up and talking into a microphone. It requires some level of cockiness to even want to do it. Like, nobody... Yeah. I feel like... I was probably more cocky when I first started out now. Or first started out than I am now, even though now I'm much better than I was when I was cocky. Yeah. You probably just haven't been in it long enough for you to fall on your face too hard and have those humbling moments that knock you down off your perch.
I've had a couple moments where I'm just like, this sucks, but
yeah,
it is what it is.
Well, yeah, it's the more spectacular the failure, the I don't know it. I don't know how other people handle it, but I find. Like, the bigger the disaster of it, the more I get out of it, and I just have to work that much harder afterwards. But, you don't have to work hard. You were chained, or chained, what? Claimed? No? What's the word I'm looking for?
Crowned?
Crowned! That's a good word for it. Crowned the champion. So, have the sitcom offers been flooding in?
No sitcom offers. I've got a few shows because of it, but no sitcoms.
I've noticed just on Facebook. I don't know how you feel about this, but it seems like all of the new people, like there seems to be, even though the scene hasn't been going that long, there's definitely like a generational divide. And you seem to be the James Mullinger of the new people. Like, you're the one that I see them all making, like, snarky comments to on Facebook. And I sense a bit of jealousy amongst the new people. Are you feeling that? And I don't know a lot of the people super well, so I'm not sure when it's just joking and when it's being passive-aggressive.
As far as I know, it's all in good fun.
Yeah, that's how it starts.
Yeah, well, no, I don't know. I mean, I can kind of understand it, but... At the same time, it also kind of depends on how much you want it, too. I mean, there's someone specifically that I know hasn't had certain opportunities that I've had because of the whole whatever the two sides of comedy in the area, kind of whatever's going on there. But I think for the most part, I just... write jokes and I just asked people to put me on. It's not about money, it's not about anything, so I kind of just took any opportunity thrown at me, whether they want clean material or no jokes barred. And
that's a good way to approach it. Just take what you can get. And I don't know if anybody out there is super jealous that Matt Keenan is on St. John Forward Radio for the second time, and maybe you haven't even been on at all. All you have to do is ask. I don't think I've said no to anybody who's asked to be a guest on this show. And I don't know, a sure way. I actually sent the message out requesting Matt again for this one, because he's got a show coming up on Wednesday. He's got a new podcast out. So if you want more opportunities, you got to do some stuff. So get yourself on those shows. Make your own show. Make your podcast. Beg and plead for your spots. And I very rarely say no to anybody. So if you feel that that Matt Keenan is edging you out of your place and no jokes barred, just reach out to me and we'll help you out. But before we get into your new projects, let's take a quick break. Do you want to tell us about the song that you have selected for us to listen to this evening?
Okay, it's Holland Road. by Mumford & Sons. I don't know, it's one of my favorite songs by them. I've enjoyed them for several years, and a handful of people have told me that I resemble the lead singer. So I tested it out over last summer. I went to one of their shows, and there were quite a few people that came up to me wanting pictures and autographs. And
well, that's pretty good.
So
second career as in a Mumford & Sons cover band, maybe?
Yeah, I mean, I can't sing, but...
Yeah, I don't know what they look like, but if I was going to close my eyes and picture Mumford & Sons, I think I think you'd be a perfect candidate.
There you go.
I'm not familiar with the song. I heard like their big hit. I don't know what it was called.
They have a few big ones.
There's one that's really chanty. I don't remember what it was called.
That's all of them,
yeah, but... probably. I think I've heard like open mic music versions of Mumford & Sons. Sons songs more than I've heard like the actual songs.
Yeah.
So we'll see how it stacks up to the local cover artists in St. John. Right. And we'll be back with some more Matt Keenan on St. John Forward Radio.
Look, 107.3 FM CFMH, the best spot in St. John and surrounding areas.
So I was lost. Go count the cars before you go to the Holland Road. With your heart like a stone, you spared no time in lashing out. And I knew your pain and the effect of my shame, but you cut me down. You cut me down. And I will not tell thoughts of hell that carried me home from the Holland Road. With my heart like a stone, I put up no fight to your callous mind. And from your corner you rose to cut me down. You cut me down. You'll see when I'm on my knees, I still believe. And when I've hit the ground, neither lost nor found, if you'll believe in me, I still believe.
you believe in me, I still believe.
We're back on St. John Forward Radio. That was Holland Road by Mumford & Sons. I feel like if there was a music video for that, it would be a bunch of bearded men in cardigans running through a rainy wheat field.
Sounds very accurate.
Yeah. So I'm here with Matt Keenan. You've got a new monthly show coming up this Wednesday. Why don't you tell us about it? If you're listening to the podcast the day it comes out, that is tonight. But if you're listening to it live, you've got a couple of days to prepare.
All right. Keen on Laughter. The name is, I think, a loose play on my last name, and I guess I have to give Eric Cheese all credit for that.
Yeah, well, you've got to have either a cheesy way to describe laughing or some sort of pun as a name of a comedy show. Yeah. So you're doing well so far.
As long as I'm not like Troy Haynes with live stand-up comedy.
It's very direct, and you know exactly what it is, but it's almost too, like, if you're Googling it, you're like anything everything. Could come up. Yeah. And the weird thing was, I used to have Troy, I don't know how to use Photoshop, he made the original version of the No Jokes Barred show poster every month, and I asked him to just say live stand-up comedy on it, and I feel like that made like a little light bulb go off. Live stand-up comedy, I like to bring to that.
Clever dude, yeah.
That's how I imagine it all came together. So you had a Facebook vote. Mine didn't. I think I made it to the final round of voting. What was mine? Please come,
please, or something like that.
Just come,
please.
Just come, please.
Yeah. I think you were, even when I did it online voting for the podcast, I think you still.
Yeah, I think my suggestion for the podcast name was Just Listen, Please.
So those are two I actually enjoyed.
I didn't check. Did that one get as many likes as the? I don't think I kept up on that one. I think I might have turned off notifications because my phone was telling me about it too often.
I can't remember. I think it. It did have decent. I didn't really pick the one with the most votes, though, for the podcast.
Yeah.
I just decided to play off of Key and Peele and went with Key and Peele.
Yeah, and we'll talk about the podcast in a bit. So, but the show's, the first one's this Wednesday.
Yes, this Wednesday at the Hampton Golf Course in Hampton, if you couldn't figure that out. 7:30 p.m. showtime. Ken Bolton's headlining that one before.
Pay What You Can.
Yeah, Pay What You Can. So whatever, car keys, phone numbers, money, beer, I don't care.
Nice.
Whatever you want to put in the bucket.
What's the format of the show, I guess? How many people do you have on it? Are you hosting?
I'm hosting. I'm not going to host every single one. I have a couple where I've asked other people. I already have every show booked right now for the six months that it's going to go on. But it's going to be similar to your No Jokes Barred Deluxe show. So fewer comics and longer sets. So I'm going to have the first one. I have Brian Godso, Ben McDonald, Travis Boyce. They'll do anywhere from 12 to 15.
Mm-hmm.
And then Ken can headline with, he could do really 30 to 40. They told me I could go really as long as I want. I just figured 90 minutes seemed like a.
Yeah, that seems better. Like, even the No Jokes Barred deluxe shows, most of them, I've dialed it back recently. I don't remember how many. Or I think on your show, there was three of the feature acts, but I've cut it down to two. I find it's better to aim for 10:30 than the solid 2 hours, which is fine at the Hour Bar, but there's an intermission in the middle, which isn't great, but it's kind of a necessary evil. So... Yeah. Is this going to be an opportunity for new people to go up, or you just want to book people that you know can do a solid job?
Well, mostly I've booked people, and if people have asked me, I've done something. But I mean, if there's someone that's really interested, I throw them 5 minutes opening if they've never tried it before or whatever the case. It doesn't bother me there, but mostly. I figured fewer comics with more polished sets to try and lure in a crowd, and then, you know, if I do it again next year,
it's established and the audience kind of trusts you, you can take more chances with somebody, and they know just somebody has a bad set, it's not necessarily bad reflection of the show. Have you gotten any unsolicited advice from other people that run shows? Or even advice that you asked for?
I don't think I've gotten any advice from anyone. Not that I can really.
Do you have any questions that you would like to ask about it? I could offer some sage advice.
If any questions come about, it might be after the first show.
Yeah.
Right now, I'm like, I think I've got everything I need to put on the show, so we'll just see how it goes. And I think I had one bit of advice, and it was to make a decent looking poster.
Yeah.
And I didn't really even make a poster for the first one. It's all online, so.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I used to go every Hour Bar show, I'd go and put posters up on telephone poles and everything around uptown, but I got lazy, and especially in the winter months, and now it's been going for 3 years, people kind of know about it, and I think Facebook's good enough, but for the anniversary show, I might go out hitting posters. But how are you? Are you doing anything beyond Facebook? Do you have you don't even have a poster to print out to put in the liquor store or something? That might be a good.
I might do that going forward. My plan was initially to do that and just put them up, a few up around Hampton.
Yeah,
and then this month I was just busy and broke, and then next thing I know I'm a few days away, and now it almost seems pointless.
Yeah, I've been there. There's been a few times where I just forget all about it, and then it's like that Friday, like, is it even worth it to put it up for people to see tonight?
I did do a sponsored ad though on Facebook, so hopefully that will.
Yeah, and so you said it was also wing night?
Yeah, that's what, so when I used to, I spent a summer working at the Hampton Golf Course in the kitchen part-time, and I know the couple that run the Bar and Grill, so I thought it was an opportunity to reach out to them. And they already had a speaker set up, so I was like, okay, I can just get a little platform and a mic and go from there. So I initially talked to them, and I was like, what day, like, I could do one or two a month, or what do you think, and what day of the week? And they said Wednesday would be perfect because they have wing night going on, and plus there's like Thursday nights they have midnight, so they're already booked Thursday nights. Friday, Saturday they tend to have a lot of functions and stuff like that will go on, and then they have a women's night I think on Monday. So it was,
are those other things on weeknights pretty well attended? I just know, like, in St. John, I haven't tried to put on a comedy show in the middle of the week, but it seems like nobody wants to do anything Friday and Saturday.
The thing at the golf course stuff is well attended because it's golf related.
Yeah.
So this will be the only real event that isn't. Like, they have happy hour and stuff going on Fridays, but that's the weekend. Thursday night is men's night, so it's like every male member of the golf course is there, and they have this, like, I think it's like a season long tournament essentially.
Yeah.
So that's always extremely busy.
Yeah, with the wing night combo, that's going to be probably a double-edged sword. It'll pack the house more than it might be just for the comedy show, but sometimes the worst people to be at a comedy show are people that didn't come to a comedy show on purpose.
Yeah. So,
do you think the bar will have your back? Like, if somebody's being obnoxious, or are they going to be kind of a customer? Because those are good conversations to have ahead of time. Like, if somebody is being a problem, can they be removed?
I might have to discuss that when I get there Wednesday afternoon to set everything up.
Yeah, because you don't want to tell somebody off and tell them to shut up, and then have them be like, "Well, that's a paying customer.
Yeah,
Matt.
We're a member here." Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So you need to set the expectations there, but it is going to be an uphill battle if there are people there I find, especially when it's a Wednesday, so the alcohol might not be as much of an issue, but people get real stubborn when you ask them to not talk so that the thing that everyone else is paying attention to doesn't get ruined. But no, it sounds like you're doing the right thing. You've got a spotlight, which I've seen many shows come up that's something that most people don't think about, but it does make a big difference if you can't. Like, if even at the Wilser's room is bad, you can't really see your face unless you're standing. I think they've had a spotlight the last couple of times, but there's been many times where they've just got those hanging down over the top.
Yeah, that's lights and the first two shows there, that's what they had. And then the third one I did was that one that I hosted last minute, and they put the spotlight up for that one.
Yeah, it's an extra, not that I'm known for my wacky facial expressions, but it does help, like, for the audience to be able to see your face is just part of it. And especially old RF, if he's standing too far up at the Wilser's room, he's all just eyes and teeth.
Yeah, exactly.
but I'm looking forward to that, and I hope that it goes well for you. So you've got 6 months booked. What happens after 6 months? Is that it, or is that just your trial period?
Well, basically the golf course closed. They're not open year round, so they opened the first week of May, mm-hmm. and then they close. It's weather dependent usually, but the end of October, early November is typically when they close. So I figured do it during those months, and then if it goes well, potentially bring it back next year, see what happens.
And there's no other bar in town that's open on a Wednesday night?
As of right now, there are no. The only bar, I think, in Hampton is the golf course now.
What? I thought there was a restaurant that had a bar in it that's in that, like, main strip mall that's, like, right off the main drag.
There was Holly's restaurant was in,
that's it.
By the CVZ, and there's a bank in there. Mm-hmm. And if that's actually my bosses and the people who run the golf course. It's her mother who initially owned Holly's.
Yeah.
Then she sold it to someone who drove it into the ground, and it closed a few months ago.
Oh well, you can spark it back to life. Say reopen Holly's, and we'll put on a comedy show there. Yeah.
Holly's is it's more of a family. There's a tiny little bar in there.
Yeah,
but then there was another bar in Hampton too, and then I think it was just poor ownership as well.
Yeah,
they closed. Someone else bought it, renovated little renovations, opened it up as something else. And they didn't really know what to do in the restaurant industry, too. Yeah. So it just closed a couple months ago. So now there's in a situation where there's a food truck. And I think that's the primary food source. That, unless you want, like, Subway or
something. Yeah, well, set up a little amp and a microphone on the roof of the food truck. Do a comedy show. Might be good. You've also got a podcast, which we can talk about, but let's take a quick break, and then we'll come back and talk about Keenan Peele. Is that right?
Yeah.
Let's hear some dwarves for now, and we'll be back with more Matt Keenan in a little bit.
To save the ozone and the earth and all the creatures, sand and surf. This world is full of things to do, and yet it always come back to, let's just get high and fuck some sluts. Do what we will, not what we must. For any of us fucking to be lust. So what? Let's just get high and fuck some sluts. A cure for cancer and for AIDS. To volunteer in fire brigades. Home for aged and infirm. How come we never ever learn?
Some sage advice from the dwarves on St. John Forward Radio. We're here with Matt Keenan, who's got a new podcast, Keenan Peel. Do you think maybe the two of us could fake some energy for the segment? Or can we be really pumped?
All right,
let's talk about your podcast, Matt.
All right, okay.
I really wanted to check it out and listen to it, but I honestly forgot all about it until right before the show when I was making my notes on things that I wanted to ask you about. So I definitely want to get to it, but before I get to it, and to people that are listening that haven't heard it yet, what can they expect from Keenan Peel?
All right, well, I'm going to do it. My plan is to do it bi-weekly, and then maybe go from there. But the first one, and I'm going to try and make this a habit, I guess, is to do it after a local show and kind of talk about the show. Talk about, like, the last one we did right after the No Jokes Bar at the Yard Bar.
Yeah. It was Jonathan Nesbitt.
Yeah, Jonathan Nesbitt was there.
Was Sam?
Sam was on it, okay. And then my roommate Pat was on it, who was also at the show. And we just kind of talked about who we thought did well, not I guess who didn't do well and who did do well, but just kind of like we talked about the show and what we thought of it, and then me and Sam talked about some of our past shows and things like that. And
yeah, that sounds. I kind of batted around doing that because generally after the R Bar show, there's a bunch of us hanging out in the parking lot afterwards, and I feel like if we could capture that in podcast form, it would be interesting. But there's a level of trash talking that sometimes happens in the after the show that most people probably wouldn't want released.
You could. There was a lot of stuff like. I think the podcast wound up being, I had a clip of Sam performing. I put a little clip of something that I was trying at the Yar Bar on, and so the actual podcast was probably about 5 minutes of us or 5 minutes of comedy, 55 minutes of us talking. But it was initially like an hour and a half, and there was some stuff when I re-listened to it, I was like, I don't care too much about what I say. Because I feel like if you're listening to a comedian's podcast, you should kind of expect some edgy material to be discussed, I guess. But, like, there were other people that I was like, I don't want them to say something and people to be offended by it.
Yeah, there's a couple of... when we did the original Hammered cast for the Splood cast, me and Splood and RF, well, there was lots of alcohol involved and things were said. I think all three of us dropped an N-word in there. The context of it was better than I'm making it sound. Not that there is. Anyway, I'm not even going to try to explain that. You can listen to it and get mad at me later. I kind of wish that... he could have that open, like, break it down, this person, this is how they did, and this is how they did, but there's lots of delicate people in the comedy scene, and it's even if it's constructive, I can see it, and you don't want to have, like, and I understand it, too, like, I wouldn't, just the idea that somebody who doesn't, like, me, for example, if somebody's listening to your podcast and they've never actually seen me perform and they just hear, oh, John Forward was terrible. He just rambled for 25 minutes and there was maybe three laughs in the whole thing. And then if somebody, and then they see John Forward on a poster, yeah, and they're like, oh, I don't want to go. So that's the guy that they said sucked on Keenan Peele. I'm not going to go. I don't know if anybody takes their advice that much from the podcast, but I don't know. Lots of, and yeah, it's lots of, it's one thing, like, you can bust balls with people that you're pretty good friends with, but it's kind of a minefield. Otherwise, you don't know what you can say.
I don't think there'll be a whole lot of specifically trash talking people on their sets, because I mean, especially at an open mic, you're attempting new stuff, and it's gonna go well, it's not gonna go well, it's hard to say. It's mostly kind of like who stood out, like who we thought did well and things like that. So
yeah, and that's probably for the best. There's probably, like, it's fun to kind of blow off steam, and if somebody bombed, like, say it. And it's, I, even if they're there, it's fun. It's fun to just give somebody grief about it in the moment. But I don't know, to do it on the podcast, I'm not sure if it's if the amount of extra engagement that you get from that is worth the just doing it to begin with, I guess. So it's probably best to stay positive. But part of me wishes that everybody could just say what's what. But I don't know.
Yeah.
So that was the most energy that the two of us could muster. So the last one was that recorded. Are you going to be putting these out on a regular schedule of some sort, or just depends on when there's a show and when you feel like recording it?
Well, it won't necessarily be recorded, obviously, at the same time, but I'm going to try and put it online the same. I think I put it up last Monday, or maybe it was Sunday. Mm-hmm. So I'll try and keep that a thing. So it's, regardless of when the show is, it's at least they know this day that the
podcast. Yeah, I've heard that it's good to have a regular schedule like that. Well, with this show, well, I have to be here on Monday nights to record it, and then I just decided that Wednesdays would be a good day to put it out online, just for some sake of consistency. Like, I could probably put it up even tonight when I got home if I really wanted to, but it gives me an extra buffer so that it doesn't take me long to put it out, because I don't really need to edit it anyway.
Yeah,
I just need to trim the ends of it and even out the levels a little bit before I put it out. But it used to be I would completely forget about it, and then I'd see, like, oh, there's a new Spludecast up on Thursday. I'm like, oh, yeah, I had one this week, too. I should probably put that out. But it's good to be on a regular schedule. So is there a certain weekend every month? We're getting near the end of the show. So this Wednesday, May 31st, Keen on Laughter. Is it the last Wednesday every month, or how's that work?
As of right now, from what I've discussed with the golf course, the last Wednesday is what we're both looking at.
Yeah.
Ultimately, it'll depend on whether or not they have any functions going on. But if they're free, that's the plan.
Yeah. All right. And the podcast, so you're thinking, like, monthly or every couple weeks?
I think bi-weekly, probably every other Sunday, Monday is when it'll be released.
Where can people find that? Do you have it linked up with iTunes?
I do, yeah. iTunes and what's the other one? SoundCloud, I think.
Yeah.
Are the two.
Yeah, no, that's good, because I have a podcast app on my phone that if something isn't, like, cross-released on iTunes, like, when it's something's just on SoundCloud, unless you have, like, SoundCloud premium account or something, you can only listen to it, like, online. It doesn't keep track of your... Why am I talking about this? Nobody cares. But anyway, that's good. And you can find you on your Facebook page at Matt Keenan Comedy.
Yep. Yeah.
Anything else you want to plug?
Coming to the show on Wednesday. That's the main one. And then, I mean, if you follow me on Facebook, you're going to see everything that I've got coming up anyway, so...
Yeah, so you can see me at the usual spots. Although June is there's John Forward related projects every weekend. June 2nd, this Friday, No Jokes Bar Deluxe. Brian Giles is headlining that one. We've also got Sam Laidman and Molly B on that show. And then June 10th is Ken Bolton's 8 Virgins of Comedy, his comedy class graduation show. And then June 17th, No Jokes Barred 3-year anniversary, and then the last weekend of the month, whatever, the Thursday through Saturday of that, or Thursday is in Evandale, but Friday and Saturday at Chuckles, opening for K. Trevor Wilson from Letterkenny, Chris Trotter, and Jimmy McKinley are also on that show. You can find it all on johnforward.com, and just quiet your mind, and you've done some good work tonight. Namaste.